You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I can't believe it. The 18th of March already. I was doing some work this morning for... Sorry. I'm actually feeling a lot better. A lot better today. Thanks. I was doing some work this morning and last night regarding our Occupy conference, which is coming up. And I thought, my goodness, that's less than a month. Where did or does time go? I asked Mark Trump is here this weekend. I said to him, what is time, really? Can somebody explain to me what is time? If I were to say to you, where were you the night Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson? You'd flash back in your mind and you'd be there. Where is there? Where is time? If I said, what was your wedding like? You all of a sudden you'd flash back to that and that memory would come out and you'd think about it, wow. Yeah, where's time? What is time? Really, what is time? Time-space continuum is this thing we're trapped in called time. Does time exist? Does it even exist outside? Is time really just something? Is it just an earthly thing? Is there a different kind of time outside of this realm? Oh, man. You know, I never used to be inquisitive about this kind of stuff. That's why I know the Lord's really, really changing my heart, because I'm just thinking this stuff all the time. I have a lot of questions. I don't have a lot of answers, but boy, I'm sure thinking it a lot. We're going to do our drawing here. Not quite yet. Let me lay a little bit of a foundation before we do. Some things I want to make sure I cover. I'm sorry. Something just caught my eye there. We had a great event on Saturday here in Lancaster. I want to tip my hat to Lowell Morrison, who put the whole thing together for us. We had some, I hate to use the term speakers, because it weren't really speakers as much as they were people bringing information. JR spoke about the natural family, and Russ Howell spoke about security in church. Boy, that was really, really a good session, man. David Arthur spoke about, what's the word I'm looking for, David? Intimacy. I barked a little bit. Pastor David Helser barked a little bit. We had about 30 some guys. I want to mention right now, this is an amazing story. I run into these things all the time. This happens a lot to me. But a guy show up. I'm not going to embarrass him. His name's Gary. He came all the way from Kentucky. Are you ready for this one? He started watching the show last Monday. He had never heard of us. Somehow he came across us. He watched the show every day last week and drove 2 hours to come to the event. He said, I don't really know why I'm here. I don't even really know where I belong, but I got to get involved. And Gary drove all the way up there. You know, I want to thank Dave Helser for letting us use his church. I want to thank Tim Poling for showing up. We had in the room, Dave Helser's a pastor, Tim Poling's a pastor, Bill Dunphy's a pastor. I don't want to miss anybody, but I think that was it. I don't know why pastors are so afraid of us. Men are so hungry.
Hey, Coach, you had Lou Miller from Oakthorpe.
Oh, thank you. I did not realize that. Lou Miller was there. I don't know why pastors are so afraid of us. I just don't get it. And the information, guys, men are so hungry. Golly, they're hungry. And that event was a little bit different in that, as I said, there were four different, in my mind, there were about four different factions of groups, small groups that came together, which is a good thing, right? a group from this church and a group from this church, then the huddle group, and boys and girls, we gotta play together. We gotta get together, and we gotta lay down our swords. And you know, it always begins. The vision always raises its head, always does. That's why we have denominations. We, folks, you get 35 Christians in a room. I'm gonna pick up a mic so I can drop it. And they can't agree on nothing. That's just the truth. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but do you guys see the left arguing over? Do you see them arguing over anything? Do you see the abortion crowd arguing with the homo crowd? Do you see the homo crowd arguing with the school indoctrination crowd? Do you see them arguing? And we still always come to the same point where we have to tread lightly because there might be somebody in the room that doesn't agree with our doctrine. By the way, I'm sorry. I just realized David, I said David Arthur spoke, did a good job on I'm looking. So I stopped talking when I'm looking. I don't know if David's in it. But again, we don't wake, man, oh man. So it's important that we get guys who come from different backgrounds together. At some point, boys and girls, we got to lay down our swords against each other. I don't know when that's going to happen, but we have to do that. So Dave Helser, Pastor Dave Helser, had the courage to bring us there. And yeah, some protesters showed up, but that's okay. I welcome protesters. Most churches are scared away by the protesters. Jared, if you're looking forward, I don't give them any nothing, man, nothing. So it was good. It was good. We're going to build on it, and we're going to get on the same page come hell or high water. That's all I'm going to say. I'm looking at some things I've put down here real quickly. I won't get to before we get to the drawing and all that. I want to emphasize this again. Folks, listen. Before it's news, it's Sunday, so I don't know. They probably don't have us up there, but they stream our show. They're going to begin to stream our show. And as you look on there right now, there's 959 people online. It's early in the morning. Doesn't matter. When they put our show on there and they stream our show, we have an impact. As I said, a billion. They've had a billion visitors there. So make sure you visit Before It's News. There's a lot of freaky stuff on there right now, but it's in transition. And you know, they need their numbers. They're trying to do a good work there, man. And so they need the numbers there. Does that make sense, guys? Okay, so Before It's News, we're streaming there. Next thing I want to get, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Listen, please do me a favor. Please pay zero attention to the mosque shooting. Okay. It was fantastic video, all that stuff. Do you have any idea how many Christians are killed around the world by Muslims every day? And do you have any idea? I saw there's been like 84,000 Christians killed by Muslims in the last year.
Coach, I heard 120,000.
Well, and so what's all over the news? Well, all over the news is these poor Muslims were shot. I'm not condoning the shooting of Muslims, but wake up here, will you? Wake up and understand it's the old bait and switch. It's the old controlled media trying to get you to look over here, look over here, look over here, look over here, while all this other mess is breaking loose all around. So I'm not going to spend any time even talking about that thing. I mean, I'm just not even going to go there. Don't take that bait. Okay, don't take that bait. And, well, they sure want us to, don't they? Let's see. One more thing over here before we draw. Let's see. Oh, I'll do that here in a second. I want us all, I'm going to show, we need to pray. Uh-oh. Thanks, John Hartzler, for the cheese and the milk. Our friend John's been having a few health issues, medical issues up there. And another guy we could put on our prayer. Let's be prepared, praying for John. And he was going to come down to the event Saturday. He couldn't make it, but he said chocolate milk, that Hartzler chocolate milk. Oh my goodness. And cheese, Hartzler cheese. So John, we're praying for you, and I just want you to know that how much we appreciate you doing it. And then I want us to pray, begin to pray, or seriously, keep in our prayers. Tom Dunn. Don't forget Mike Spaulding's program tonight, 6 o'clock. For those of you who are video junkies and stuff like we are, Dr. Mike live at 6 o'clock in the chair to get my brain to work there. Yeah, six. Mike's one of the good guys, one of the faithful pastors out there. And he has an interactive show tonight at 6 o'clock, making the pulpit great again. I don't know if Mike's in here today. It doesn't matter. Yep, who's your guest tonight, Mike? Or is there a guest? It doesn't matter. I don't even know if he's with
me. Hey, Coach, it's Brandon House.
Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, that'll be good. Yeah, 6 o'clock tonight.
Social justice nonsense.
Yeah. Brothers and sisters, it's worse than we even know. I want to get somewhere with me, okay? So catch Pastor Mike live tonight at 6 o'clock. And we appreciate you, Pastor. And I know that it's probably hard for you to sit there and bite your tongue when I'm always banging on the men in the cloth. But it was crazy. So those who were there Saturday morning, I ask, how many people are go to church? Wasn't very many of them. Of the 30, there might have been, well, some of them were the members of the local church there where it was being hosted. They raised their hand. We got a lot of dropouts, a lot of church dropouts. Let's go find those guys. All right, let's go find them. Pray for Tom Dunn. I'm going to show, after the drawing here, I'm going to show a video of Tom Dunn, of David Arthur's story called Fire and Brimstone. And I'm going to tell you, the vicious homosexual lobby mafia, they ain't going to take this one lying down. We have to cover Tom Dunn in our prayers. I'm going to show that video to you here in a second. Man, I got a lot to talk about. I'm going to stop a minute. Anybody out there have anything for the good of the group?
Just to let you know, and we're going to talk about it on David's program, Coach, is we had it all set up for the premiere, you know, in the theater.
Uh-huh.
I got a text from the theater yesterday. They don't want us there.
They don't want you there.
Too controversial.
That's worth a lawsuit.
Well, they didn't word it that way.
Too controversial. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? And we let this crap go on.
Well, we've got a better setup, and I think it's going to work out better. Yeah. So, fooey on Lucifer.
Yeah. Well, fooey on Lucifer is right. But see, I got to get into it.
I knew that'd get you stirred.
Yep. Amen. Well, we're stirring the pot, and Tom Dunn's stirring the pot, and David Arthur's stirring the pot, and a lot of people stirring that pot. We need to stir it more. Okay, I appreciate that, Denny. Anybody else? Want to jump in here? I got some good stuff. Stay with us. All right. Well, let's do it, Gary. Okay, we're going to draw. My old buddy Gary Pierce is coming in here, and listen to you. Listen now. I'm going to have. I'm not going to comment. Okay, I'm going to call you guys out of here in the queue. I'm going to say, hey, give me a number. Here's what we got going on right now. We're about halfway to our goal we're about halfway to not losing money at Occupy. Okay, so we have 51 different sets of ticket buyers. In other words, if you bought two tickets, you get one entry. If you bought four tickets, you get one entry. We're not going to let Roger Weaver get his name drawn four different times and get four nights in a hotel. We're not going to do that. So it's going to be one award per group, right? Get that? And you will be granted one free night in a hotel. So we're going to get ready to go here. Gary's got the list. You ready to go, Gary? You got anything that you want to say? Any coaching we need to do here, bud?
No, I'm ready to go.
You ready to go? Yep, well, yeah, we got. Here we go. Okay, here we go. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to call right now on. I'm going to call on Denny Bryan because Denny's clear up there in Iowa. Denny, give us a number between 1 and 51. Number between 1 and 51, and that number will get one free night in the hotel at.
Hey, you can include number 51.
26.
26. Denny goes right in the middle. Who we got there, Gary?
26. Oh, my goodness. Gary Donahue from Rockton.
Gary Donahue gets a free room. All right. Well, Gary, congratulations, Gary.
All right.
Hey, Kevin Van Story, give us a number between 1 and 51, but not 26. Did he not hear me? Who did I say? Kevin, there you go.
19,
come on.
19.
Aaron Hull, Dublin, Ohio.
Aaron Hull, Dublin, Ohio. Aaron, you don't even know it. Maybe you're not watching this show. We'll make sure that you find out. All right. Let's go to Jeff Klein. Give us a number there, Jeff. Pick number one. Get one free night in the hotel at Occupy.
10.
Gary.
It's Jeff and Vicki Anderson, Lakeville, Minnesota.
I thought you were going to say Jeff Klein. That was going to make me nervous. Jeff and Vicki Anderson from Minnesota. They get a free room. All right. Let's go. We have two more to go. I'm trying to forget people who never say a thing. Man, just little quiet little birds just sitting in here. Let's go to, hey, Tori Evans. Tori, give us a number. 1 to 51, but not 26, not whatever. Go on, Tori.
4.
I like that number.
Michelle Bellstein, Warren, Ohio, my hometown.
All right, Michelle Bellstein in Warren, Ohio, you get one, and I'm going to turn to the last number. It's going to be selected by Gail down in South Carolina. I think it's South Carolina. Well, who we got, Gail?
51. Chris Melvin, Ashland, Kentucky.
Awesome. Those five people all get a free night in a hotel as part of Occupy. Folks, listen, if you haven't signed up, come on, man, get in. We're a month away. Everybody last minute kind of folks, and it just helps us make planning. It's $49 to get in the thing. And if you do, remember to register. Go when you book your hotel, you got to tell them, hey, I'm part of that Occupy group, and they'll give you the discount, and then we get our rate lower. That's what we're trying to do.
Hey, Coach.
Anything more there, Gary?
Yeah. The refund for the room will be done at the show at the Occupy.
Yeah, we can't get in and do credit cards and all that stuff. So you're gonna get $100 back, all right? We'll give you $100 back there that'll cover that room. Is that right, Gary?
That's correct.
All right.
Hey Coach.
Yes,
Vic. Coach. Chad was saying that we're gonna go blue, red, and white. He was saying I need a shirt. So bring me a shirt, and I'll pay you down there at the show. It's the protect the flock with a Glock. That's for Friday. And then he said that the red hate truth me. It's like hate or hates like truth. And then the white one of that one is for Sunday.
Hey Vic,
yeah,
we got people in New Zealand couldn't care less about your shirt.
Just bring me one, Coach, and I'll pay you down there.
Okay. All right. Cool. Good work, Gary. Good work. Come on, folks. Get in line. Get here. Come and join us. Anybody for the good of the group before I dive into some stuff here? Probably not. Okay, let's go here. I want you to pull up. This censorship is everywhere, okay? Time out. Thanks, Mark Trump. Coming. Mark Trump came all the way from Virginia again. Listen, I'm not buttering up to Mark Trump. I'm not rubbing his back. This guy's in, man. He's in. He came all the way from Virginia again to be part of it. Hey, Mark, why are you doing that? Are you looking for something, Mark? What draws you to all these events? And by the way, give me a little feedback. You always have a unique perspective. Are you there, Dr. Mark? He's not a doctor, but I'm going to start calling him doctor. I see he's there. Maybe he's asleep on me. He could be probably resting up. But I appreciate.
Yeah, I am. I had trouble getting off mute, Coach.
All right, buddy.
Coach,
go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I've picked something up from everywhere I've been. I've learned stuff. I think if I had to put something on the top of the stack of why I go, it's to meet the men. and to learn their hearts. I think I spent a lot of time with Gary, who came, who is a guy from Kentucky. Lowell introduced me to him. We walked and had a conversation, and I think I do a whole lot of that. I think God's got me in a position to, you know, kind of share what we're doing in a way that resonates with people. But I also come away with a purpose for going. When Dave Arthur and I went to Asheville, North Carolina, we came away with a real belief. All, each of us had a reason that we were there, and God showed us why we were there. And, you know, we can talk about it later, but my reason for being there this trip was Jeremiah 1, 10, and 11, Coach.
So I'm not going to go there yet.
We're going to turn that into something, and I want to, yeah.
I'm going to dedicate. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, man.
Absolutely. But that's what I came away with. And just seeing the interaction between everyone, being able to help out. It's what I can do with my time. It's my reasonable service, actually, since I'm not working. So I'm not just going to sit on my hands, Coach. I'm going to be doing.
Amen, brother. It's about relationships, isn't it, Mark? It's about relationships.
Amen.
And the only way you build those, see, guys, it has to become a priority to us. You say, well, Coach, it's easy for you to say. You're running them. Yeah, I am. I am running them all. But it's about relationships. It just is about relationships. And I was thinking as we were inside that building again this weekend, and the enemy was on the outside of the building. They have no fear of us. Now, it was a little bit different. I don't even want to talk about what took place down there. The righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are. And if you look around, you tell me the spiritual war isn't real. You look around, and anything that opposes evil is banned. It's banned. Can't get on Facebook, can't get on YouTube, can't rent a building. Anything that is good is banned. Can't we make some type of association in our head and understand that we're in a war? And the fact that stuff gets banned, Christians, we don't fall in line behind it and cheer that it's banned. We're not excited that it's banned. We ought to push back against it because ultimately our children and our grandchildren. Let me pause there a second. This is it. Right now is it for America. Now, if you have a theology, and I'm not going to argue theology, that we're going to be out of here and we're not going to face the consequences for our action, God bless you. God bless you. But our granddaughter stayed all night last night. I had all my grandkids here yesterday. Love those little guys. You know what I was doing? If you guys were to walk into our house, some of you have been in our house. Michelle's a great little decorator. On the wall of my house, our house, is a picture of three of our grandchildren. One of the first pictures we had of Reese, Macy, and David, our first three grandchildren. Pictures on the wall. And I was sitting on the couch the other night, and I was talking. Mark Trump stayed at my house, our house, on a Saturday night. And I was sitting there talking to Mark Trump, and right behind him was a picture, that picture on the wall of our three grandchildren. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Maybe it wasn't the Holy Spirit. But the thought came to me and said, I hope those grandkids of mine don't have to face unconceived terror and calamity in their lives. Let's look at little Reese's pictures hanging on shelves. There's a picture when she's about, she may have been four. I was looking at that little picture of her when she's about four. And all of a sudden in my mind's eye, I saw her at 24. So what's she going to be doing? What's the world going to be like? What? The scripture says, those who teach their children the truth, in Isaiah, I believe, make themselves a prey. What are David and Reese and Macy? What are they going to have to face 25 years from now? I'm wondering how many of you watching this show right now could look back on your life 25 years ago and see what is destroying your children and your family and your grandkids, what is destroying your children today. And if you had the opportunity to go back 25 years and stop it at the root, would you have rescued your children and grandchildren? Pick a thing. Pornography. The scourge of pornography and what pornography has done, particularly in the life of men, and the destruction of marriages, and the destruction of women, all of that stuff. If we had realized 25 years ago, or whenever it was, when they made pornography free speech, if we'd have stood up then and stopped it then, how many lives would be different today? Somebody want to comment on that? I'll pause there before you do.
Amen.
What's pornography today? What's the pornography today that 25 years from now, we're going to say, dang, gone, I should have stopped that. What is it? And are we naive enough to think, see, because theology matters, because we think we're not going to be here in 25 years. We say, oh, well, just get worse.
Okay, coach, here it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. In 1933, there was a movie, Sylvia and Scarlett, which is the first instance of lesbianism in movies. In 1965, we had The Pawnbroker, which had nudity, the first time of nudity in movies. And then, of course, we had the 80s movies where we had when they were going on about the Kavanaugh thing, about the kids just going the rape stuff and all this and making light of all this stuff. So every little thing is progression to destroy society.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Remember what a controversy that was?
Remember.
A tough word in a movie. What is that issue today, and why are we not standing up fighting against it? Why are we not? Somebody else.
Coach, yeah, LGBTQP.
Brother, hey. That's the way I see it, dude. That's one of them I see for sure. Come on, somebody else. Larry, yeah, was that you?
Yeah. You know, the aspect of what if we had done something back then, that's a good thought process to go through, because let's realize everybody listening, watching, or this show should know that James 4:17 applies from the moment you read it and understand what it says to the rest of your life. And that it knows to do good and doeth it not, it is
so. Say that again, Larry, because see, folks, once saved, always saved. It's not going to be snatched out of your hand. Blah, blah. I can take you back to Revelation 21:8, which says the fearful and the unbelieving are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. It says that for sure. Faithful and unbelieving believers, it's talking to. You know, and Larry, where is that, Larry? James what?
James 4:17.
Pull it up there for us, Jared, can you?
We can't go back and change the past. We can't go back and undo what we've allowed to happen. But from this moment forward, for those who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You want to keep on sinning on purpose, just ignore what's happening and don't do anything about it.
Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? James asks. Well, it's just a vapor. That's all it is. It's just here for a little bit and then it's gone, vanishes away. We ought to say to that, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice and you're boasting, talking about how good things are, yada, yada, and all such rejoicing is evil. You rejoice and you're boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, that's sin, boys.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
We got it too easy over here, Coach. There's 11 Christians dying daily around this world, and we just got it too easy over here, man.
We got it too easy. And then, Alan, we let them put the mosque up on TV and blast that news for 24 hours a day for a week to condition us, right?
Because it's the spirit of Antichrist that's running around this world rampant. It's the coils of this thing, this big serpent, it's Islam, is the hammer of the New World Order beast system, and it's coming down. It's making all these countries submit. Listen, America, we're so infiltrated by this mess, and I tell you, it makes me sick, Coach.
Church is infiltrated about it. I'm going to show you some stuff. Well, I got two things. I just got a couple things I got to show you. I got so much to talk about. So much to talk about. Jared, I threatened you with Tom Dunn. I want you to pull that up there, the trailer. This is the fire and brimstone trailer, folks. Excuse me. Tom Dunn making a video about David Arthur and David Arthur's life. Tom just sent it to final productions being done. This is the video that Denny wants to be played in Iowa, and they won't let him. They won't even rent him he wanted to rent out the local theater, and they won't let him because it's too controversial. Not too controversial to bring porn in and play it in there. That's not too controversial. Oh, no, no, no. That's not too controversial. Not too controversial. They probably don't play, the abortion movie, the doctor who did it. What's his Gosnell? They probably won't play Gosnell either because aborting babies is controversial. And then we want to talk about the fact they're going to come into your schools and rape the mind of your children in the LGBTQRS movement. Oh, that's too controversial. This is why we got to pray for Tom Dunn. This is 2 minute, 45 second trailer of this movie that about David. It's powerful. Go ahead. Hey, hang on. This baby don't pull no punches. Go.
Not only are we just opening up the door to our children being molested, being raped, passed around, profited off of, but we're handing them over to a movement that's going to turn them into pedophiles, rapists, murderers, drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes.
Now, Ann Georgelis also enrolled James when he was 5 years old into a clinic, the Genesis Clinic. And they do sex change operations on children in Dallas, Texas.
I even prayed to God one time as a child, saying, Lord, please let me wake up and be a girl.
I am a school teacher. Oh, I'm also a drag performer.
So if the whole focus is rescuing the children and saving the children, then we all had better wake up.
Yes. Is an indoctrination of a gay agenda.
You need to settle down, find your business.
Have you ever been beaten up and raped in jail?
This is about silencing God.
If you want to be a drag queen and your parents don't let you, you need new parents.
To have adults talk to sixth graders about sexual pleasure, too much.
The enemy knows that he's lost the war. He knows that he's lost the war, but he can win the battle if he can get his talents in your children and your grandchildren.
It's very graphic depictions of sexual activity.
How can you claim to be a man of God, then try to find a way to wiggle your way around his truth?
The kindergartners came home very confused about whether or not you can pick your gender.
This is going to be the grooming of the next generation.
They are going to hate this movie. They're going to hate it, folks, because what it does is expose the underbelly, if there is such a thing, the underbelly of this movement. And David Arthur calls it a movement and calls it a death style. The idea that they are recruiting. And so I'm coming back to where I was just a few minutes ago. 25 years from now, are we going to wish we'd done something about it? 25 years from now, when your grandson walks in the door and wants to be a tranny, are you going to wish you'd done something now? What is wrong with us? I'm fixing all where the rain comes in. Stop my mind from wondering. It's raining and it's coming in and we won't fix the hole. We won't fix the hole because they told us it's not really making you wet. You're not really getting wet. It's letting sunlight in. That hole, yeah, it may drip on you every once in a while, but really it's the new type of houses that we have. They're going to have sunlight come right in through the roof. We know that's crazy, but that's what they tell us. They tell us it's that's the way it's going to be. 25 years. Yep.
I sent you that email, I guess Saturday. It was an American Thinker, and it shows these people right there at the beach looking at this tsunami that's developing.
Yeah.
And it's pretty tragic, but American Thinker put it very succinctly. He says nobody's waking up until actually that tsunami is pushing you up against the wall real violently.
Oh, Vic, let's see if I can find that. Let me see if I can find that real set quickly and send it to Jared. See, Vic always texts me stuff, and it's good that he does. But I'm an email guy. I do a lot better on email because now when I get it, okay, here it is. It's a video, isn't it, Vic? Is it a video? Vic, is it a video?
Yes, it is.
Okay, buddy. Let me, Jared.
It's not that long, but no, it's a good one.
Coming to you, Jared. Because we're watching the stinking tsunami. I hate this. Stop that. See my phone wants to put something else up on the middle there. There it is. Okay, Jared, it's coming to you now, man. This is a great illustration, by the way, Victor. Thanks for saying that. It's like the point that the video is going to make, and so true, is it's us. You ever get in line in traffic? Like when we were heading to Wisconsin, all of a sudden traffic stops. What was it? Well, there's something going on that's made all the traffic stop. So you get up there and everybody's slow, bumper to bumper to bumper, and you get up there and somebody's pulled over to the side of the road. There's nothing except everybody's gawking, right? Rubbernecking. Everybody's rubbernecking. I said, you mean to tell me we lost 10 minutes travel time because everybody wants to slow down and look what's going on? Well, that's what this is the point this video makes. We're watching the tsunami as it comes upon us. Go ahead and play that, Jared, real quick. Thanks, Victor. Thanks. The hat tip to Vic. Deadly tsunami. Go ahead and play that, Ben. They're showing me what a tsunami looks like. You know, watch this again. Okay, Jared, go up to the other one. They're watching it come in. We're watching the tsunami come in. Jared, there's another video on this page. Which one is it, Vic? Help me out here, man. Is that it? Big waves? No, I don't think.
I didn't see the other one, but I just saw that one, and that one was.
Okay. You get the point, right, folks? So there's a tsunami coming in. There's a tsunami coming in, and we stand here and we watch it. Go ahead and let that finish, Jared. There's the LGBTQ movement right there. There go your kids and your grandkids down the hill, washed away, caught up in the flood of it. Watching the tsunami, standing on the side of the islands, watching the tsunami. Okay, now, what is that, folks? What's that issue? What is that thing? Okay, hang on. Why is there so much cancer? Why is there so much cancer? Is it what we're eating? Is it what they're spraying on us?
Coach, there's another one. Coach, there's another one. There was these Muslims that were flagellating themselves. And now it was like 10 of them that showed up with some kind of a virus, but it's a cancer virus. So they were all using the same whip and they were flagellating themselves. And so now they all have leukemia in the blood. So you see, when you think it can't get any worse, stand by. It's coming right at you.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain comes in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you were a weather forecaster and you had went down there 30 minutes before the tsunami came in to tell those people of the hazards of what they're doing, there would have been a bunch of them that stayed. Maybe only one or two would have left and listened to you. That's the people that we're trying to rescue.
That's it, buddy. Some people some of them are never getting off the beach, right?
That's right. They'll stand there and watch until the wave takes them, thinking that they're going to get out of the wave. There's a lot of people in that.
Thinking that it isn't really a wave. It's just sprinkling.
It's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect me. Or my children. My children aren't going to end up that way.
Yeah. I'm going to rubberneck. Okay. I debated whether I was going to show this, but I have to show this. This is so good. Lance Wallnau. Now, you guys, Jared, you can pull that one up there. Lance Wallnau. Remember I talked about that seven mountains? I want to get into that thing. Not today. I want to talk some more about the seven mountain thing. But I got to tell you, I like Lance Wallnau. And Jared, I want you to do this, Jared. I want you to play the first, start about the 1 minute mark. Thereabouts. Right there is good, Jared. Because the guy just asked him a question. Going back a little farther, I'm sorry. And then we're going to play it to 6 minutes, and we're going to forward a little bit further ahead. And you tell me that this guy is not a watchman on the wall, okay? Go ahead, Jared.
Christians that came out of the woodwork and voted virtually like 83%, 85% unanimity for Donald Trump in the last election. In other words, Christians changed the course of history because they were traumatized. And so I am very excited by the degree of trauma that exists right now in the world where Christians are concerned, because if you can't get Christians to motivated for enlightened self-interest, they will be motivated out of fear. And you know, it's interesting. The Bible says in Jude, save some with compassion and others with fear. And so in many ways, the circumstances in America have created such anxiety about our stability, our economic stability, what the left is doing. I look at the news cycles, and you know, this is my opinion. This isn't obviously your program, but my opinions on this. But I see the left as so aggressive, so intimidating, so belligerent, so all-pervasive, invading everything from restaurants to movie theaters to schools to bathrooms, that I believe this only tends to produce a greater degree of anxiety among sheep. And that's the metaphor Jesus gave for his people. And when the sheep get tense like that, they look for a shepherd. And who comes along but Donald Trump, the perfect shepherd for this flock of people. When Donald Trump spoke at the UIP gathering that was so brilliantly put together to get the bridge between Trump and evangelicals in 2016 before the election.
Freeze it a second.
He
listen to this. I pointed this out at the time. Listen to this. Go ahead.
He said something that caught my attention. He said, I've been traveling around America. I've been meeting Christians. I've been meeting your pastors. I've been meeting you. And I've got a heart for you. I see you and I see your support. And there's one thing I've noticed that is constant among you when I meet with you. And I was thinking, what is the testimony of the church? Is it our love, our devotion, our sincerity, our kindness, our patriotism? He said, it's fear. You are afraid. You're afraid of what the IRS will do. You're afraid of what the government's going to do. You're afraid about freedom of religion and freedom of speech being taken from you. And he said, this is ridiculous, because every other person in the United States has the right to an opinion except you. When you have an opinion, you're afraid your IRS status is going to be revoked. He says, so the first thing I'm going to do is, when I'm elected president, I'm going to overturn, I'm going to annul the impact of the Johnson Amendment. And my friend, at that moment, with 1,000 of the leading evangelicals, and I'm talking about in your field, in media, in radio, you would expect there to be a sudden explosion. In every place that I've quoted Donald Trump, there's an explosion of applause among the people. But the leaders that day were strangely silent. Not a single applause. And Trump kind of, he thought, I could hear him like take it in. Because he thought that he'd lead with his biggest promise to deal with the fear. The truth of the matter is, the leaders really don't want to be free to have an opinion. Because if they're free to have an opinion, then they're going to be expected to give one. And if they have to give one, they're going to lose tithers, they're going to lose authors, they're going to open themselves up to media criticism. The biggest nightmare would be an activist group will show up in the parking lot on Sunday, and the people are going to go blame the pastor for getting involved with politics. So the devil uses that. So fear is working against our leaders to keep them from informing the flock.
Amen.
That's bad. But fear is coming through the leftists to mobilize the Christians universally to want to look for deliverance. And Donald Trump has emerged with an extremely dedicated constituency now because we perceive him as someone who gets our anxieties and who is willing to defend us.
There's a whole group of Christians who, from a liberal and left perspective, are countering that and coming against and even supporting or should I say not supporting Donald Trump. What do you say to them? And
listen to this.
Approaching this.
I say it's good for them that they're funded by Soros, because it's not the church funding that. So what you'll find is you have leftist activists that were working, like Sojourners was working with Obama, and what you find is that that. Throughout the history of the church, there's going to be those that are actually within. Remember what Paul said. He said in Ephesus, he said, I want to warn you that after my departure shall fierce wolves descend upon you, and from among your own selves shall arise those that are speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. So as early as the book of Acts, the apostolic community understood that in the absence of real godly authority, the enemy will try to come in order to carve it up, divide it, and break it up.
Stop that, Jared.
I find nothing more.
In the absence of real apostolic spiritual authority, phony leadership in the church, wolves are going to come in and take over. Go ahead and finish that, Jared.
Oxymoronic than evangelicals in opposition to Trump. And I'm thinking, what is it you don't like? Did you like, well, you want a little more ISIS around the neighborhood? What is it you're missing? Did you want to have a little bit more unemployment? What would you like to have? A little less prosperity on Wall Street? Let's pick the demographic you want. Do you want the Hispanic community or the African-American community to have fewer people employed? And if you get down to the specifics, you'll find it. But he's so obnoxious. He's so insane. He's a white supremacist. And that entire narrative is a fiction. The narrative that it's like people that call Ben Shapiro, who's an Orthodox Jewish conservative, they call him a Nazi. Nothing could be more hilarious than a Jewish Nazi. I mean, what are we talking about? This is like an African-American Klan member. What are we talking about? This is insanity. But the left gets away with it because no one pushes back. Yeah. And that's what
nobody
I think about
pushes back. The left gets away with it because nobody pushes
Amen.
Back. Jared, now let's move forward. But you gotta watch this whole thing. Jared, move to the 10-minute mark. Move to the 10-minute mark. And let him bring this home. And I'm going, listen, I'm not saying anything. You ask if we're not on the same page. I don't even know Lance Ball now. Go ahead.
Chris Owens and Charlie Kirk and those guys with Turning Point, they're working, they're calling it verticals. John Maxwell called it streams. Everybody has a version, but it comes back to this. There's gates of influence.
Last question. Elections, people are motivated, have been in the 2018 midterm elections. Coming out of that, people want to still do something. They want to influence their communities. They want to influence their culture. So in a year like 2019, where there's not major elections happening, what's your advice to Christians about how they can stay engaged and carry that momentum into influencing their community?
This is so important, because what happens with Christians is that we get fatigued sometimes. And Jerry Falwell put it this way. He was the first person, you know, with the silent majority, with the moral majority. And he picked up on this stuff. And he said that the problem with Christians, and I was listening to him, he said, is that they quit. He said, if they win, they quit. If they lose, they quit. So the great challenge for Christians is that we have got to recognize that we are the stewards and the curators of our own future in this nation, and that it's not something that you quit. You don't quit locking the door. You don't quit brushing your teeth. You don't quit hugging your kids. Why? Because we have to have a sustained pattern of stewardship, or someone else will shape the future and take over your future for you. So the logical thing is, people are watching us here on your station. They should stay connected with you. So My Faith Votes, that it's important to stay connected with people, that David Barton is doing this work. Stay connected to people that are in narratives and dialogues about engagement. We've got to get it local. It can't just be national. It can't be sensational. Everybody loves a David and Goliath. Oh, it's Hillary. It's good. It's midterms and Trump. And because the news lives off of clickbait, so they have to sensationalize everything. What I'm discovering is that people are missing the real opportunity of going local, because your authority is local, not national. Let's face it, you know who I am. Most people have never heard of me before. But in my own sphere of influence, I have power. So what we do is we need to steward the local spheres that we have of influence. And we
should air
occupy. That's crazy to me if the left comes up with Occupy Wall Street. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, occupy planet Earth. He said, go occupy till I come. We should be occupying municipalities and judges' bench and journalism and documentaries and cartoons and filmmaking. We should be a community that's constantly creating these cultural influencers that are discipling the world around them. And we have failed at that, and the left has seized it, and now we're paying the price for our lack of imagination. But I believe we're in a turning point right now. I think God is adjusting something. So coming out of midterms, going into the new year, and my name, Walnau, W-A-L-L-N-A-U. So just write that down. And guys like me are more and more coming to the forefront, because I figured something out. I figured out that if I funded myself, I don't have to worry about nobody supporting me. See, the problem with a nonprofit is they're always worried if they say something bad that someone's going to stop writing the check. So I figured if I write my own checks, I can't fire myself. So now I say what I want to say. So long as I'm happy with me, I'm doing it.
Dr. Walnau, great to have you. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. Hey, folks, we'll make that available. You got to watch that. You got to watch that whole clip, because in the middle part of it, which I did not play, he talks about the idea of the influencing these most important areas that the left has seized, and we have just given it over. We've given it over. We sit in our churches and we pray that it just doesn't come to us. Just doesn't come to us. That's why I was a bit intrigued on Sunday morning when I went back to church down in the First Church of God in Lancaster, down where Dave Helser is the pastor. I was kind of intrigued to see how they were going to react to the fact that there had been some protesters outside their church the day before. See, the last thing Christians want is to be pointed out. Now, Lance said something so powerful. We quit when we win, and we quit when we lose. Ain't no staying power in the church. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach. That's why we need a good old-fashioned, salty football, Coach. Get this thing stirred up, brother. Hey,
doing my best, buddy. Doing my best.
Coach.
You
know, recounting of what happened when Trump told the church leaders that he was going to do away with the Johnson Amendment thing. And it just hit my brain. It's just the reason the church leaders don't want to change the Johnson thing or change anything is because if change happens within the church leadership, it removes their excuses for not getting anything done.
That's exactly right. It's easier to say, well, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. It's just going to get worse. Aren't we glad Paul and the disciples in the first century didn't have that attitude? Aren't we glad the guys that stormed Normandy Beach didn't have that attitude? What is wrong with our generation of Christians?
Amen. Amen.
And we're watching a tsunami.
Amen.
And I might survive it, but it's going to flood my kids.
Amen. You know that the easiest way to introduce the people to street work is to take them to the street, right, Coach?
That's right.
So guess what happened? We didn't have to pile up and go to Columbus. God sent them to that church to expose that church in a very introductory way to what we're up against. You know what? Did you look at it that way? Well, they came to us so you could train that church on it.
You see, here's the great thing. Pastor Dave Helser has been in that pulpit for only about 4 months. Only 4 months, he took over an older congregation right in the heart of downtown Lancaster. And he opens his church and says to Lowell, says, come on, man, you can have the conference here at our church. We have the conference at their church. And the devil comes to church. Because what's the devil want to try to do? He's going to make sure that this little church doesn't get too big for its britches. And here early on, we're going to scare you guys back inside the walls, right? We're going to call you haters. We're going to call all kinds of names. We're going to focus our attention on you, church, and you get back inside that building and you shut your mouth and don't you dare try to stop the tsunami that we're unleashing. That's it, man.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
It's just like the homosexuality. Homosexuals are coming out of the closet and they want Christians to stay, to go back in the closet and stay there.
Not even allowed to say anything about it, right? Right, Paul?
I mean, just keep, you know, you can pray, but pray inside your closet. Don't come out.
Right. You can watch the tsunami. You can watch the tsunami, but hey, don't you try to do anything to stop that thing. And we're content doing it, right? We're content. And so I circle back a little bit. We won't even play together. I support Larry. I support Larry. And what he's trying to do is stab. I support him. I don't point out that, Larry, you should have done it this way. I support David Arthur. And when David Arthur does something that I think is, you know, I get him alone in private and say, you know, David, maybe I ought to look at this. And I support
Amen, Coach.
Tom Dunn. And same thing. If I want to do Tom Dunn. Hey, boys, I'm going to tell you something. Alan, you'll appreciate this. You can say what you want to. I was a good football coach. You know why I was a good football coach? Because I was good with people. You win with people. And when our football guys screwed up, I criticized them in private. And when they did something good, I encouraged them publicly. You know what we do? We pull each other down publicly.
Amen, Coach.
I know it's an amen. I just see it everywhere. How would that be?
We climb the religious ladder on the back of others.
That's it, Dale. Not our way. Not our way. Now, that's our new organization. It's a good idea, but not our way.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Can I get up with one line? Your money's no good here. That's the line we need to start saying. That's the line we need to start saying when it comes to these 501c3 churches. It's the line we need to be saying when it comes to these movies. When it comes to everything, your money's no good here. That's the problem.
We got a lot of issues, man. We got a lot of issues, folks. And we're not going to win if we don't play together. I don't agree with everything David Arthur does, but I tell him in private. David Arthur probably doesn't agree with everything I do. He tells me in private. And then when David Arthur does something great, I praise him publicly. When are we going to learn that basic courtesy?
Hey, Coach. Only a coward would do it that way, Coach, because they can't stand alone with their criticism. They need the admonition of others. And they need to do it publicly to be heard by others, not the person. And it shows that they don't care about the person when they do it publicly. It just shows that. And they're cowards.
Yeah. Well,
hey, Coach, you got time to read Joel 2:16 real fast?
Yeah, we'll have to do it real quickly. Joel 2:16. Man, tomorrow's going to be a humdinger tomorrow. Joel 2:16, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Amen, buddy. Amen. We're at war, and we can't win if we're afraid and we fight amongst ourselves. Not our way. We don't do it like that here. Here's how I would have done it.
Amen.
That's why I say it's my show. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.